Hello, welcome to the Mythology of Marksmanship podcast. I'm Morgan King, and recently, Brian Neese and I, we recorded an episode about the Box Canyon shootout in Kansas that we went to about a week and a half ago, and something happened with the audio file. I'm not sure, between saving it on the computer and that, and editing and stuff, something happened to the audio file to where it was terrible. So sorry for you guys that sat through that. Hopefully you didn't, but anyways, sorry about that. We're gonna probably have to redo that one, which we will, because whatever, why not? We talked about some good stuff in there, so we'll go back over some of those topics. But yeah, it's I don't know, that was a great match. I had a lot of fun. I'm obviously pretty biased because I won the match, but it's not very often that you get to go shoot in a location where you get to shoot almost 360 degrees. Like, we got to shoot about 270, I guess, about 100 and something degrees both on both sides of the highway. So if you haven't been there, you shoot on one side, you shoot 10 stages on one side of the highway, and you shoot at 10 stages on the other side of the highway. And it makes for an interesting deal because you get to shoot, the only direction you can't shoot is basically straight down the road, both directions. So, and he uses, pretty much as much of the angles as you can, and the wind is there. It's just great. I mean, I'm super excited that the finale is going to be in Box Canyon, because I feel like that's going to be a great place to be able to test who really is the best shooter at that point in time. Which, I mean, there's a ton of good shooters, and obviously, like, the finale always comes down to putting yourself in the right position and then having your weekend, but I do like the fact that it's going to be in a place where you're going to have to think and you're going to have to earn your points. That to me is the ultimate. So anyways, yeah, those of you that didn't get a chance to go and are planning on going to the PRS finale, just know that it's going to be a tough one, but it's going to be fun. So anyways, yeah, like, it doesn't matter if you're really good at shooting in the wind or whatever, you're never comfortable in that type of environment. I don't feel like, because if you are comfortable, chances are you're not going to pick up on the things you need to pick up on to be able to be successful in that environment. So being uncomfortable is your friend. The only thing is can you stay in there and stay uncomfortable for that amount of time for 2 days and stay locked in and pay attention to the wind and be successful. So anyways, speaking of that and places where we can shoot a lot of angles and shoot in a lot of wind, this weekend is the Ruger Koenig Precision Rifle Challenge, I think that's what they call it, in the Grand Junction, Colorado. And yeah, that's where I'm headed this weekend. I know a lot of people are driving there right now or going to be getting on planes here soon. I'm going to be getting on a plane in the morning to go to Salt Lake, fly into Salt Lake. Brady Allen is going to pick me up at the airport, and then we're going to drive to Grand Junction. We probably won't make it there for zero day, so that's okay. Hopefully we'll be able to get there and do that, and then we're going to stay with Sloan Valdez. I guess he's got some access to a cabin there, and we're going to hang out, have a good time, have a good weekend, and hopefully hit some targets. So anyways, yeah, the wind doesn't look terrible for there, because so this place, if you haven't been there, it's pretty dang cool. It may be one of the coolest ranges in the country, especially out here on the West Coast. There's a lot of opportunity for high angle shots. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, it feels like an old, like if you've seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the old one, with Robert Redford in it, that like the hideout and stuff that they went in. Anyways, old Westerns, like it's kind of like that red, the red rocks and dirt and stuff that kind of, and big deep canyons, you know, that's exactly what this place is like. Big rock faces, like in the morning, just to tell you how high, or give you perspective on how high the walls are that we're shooting on. They'll usually have a guy come play the national anthem on an electric guitar, and as they're doing that, guys will base jump off the cliffs above him and carry the American flag down in via parachute. So that's how high they are. You can literally base jump off these walls. And man, it makes for a really cool match. And in fact, that's right above the zero, right there above the 100-yard berms. And they actually have targets on those walls, so you can get like I think like up to 30, 40 degrees of angle. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, the wind doesn't look terrible this weekend. Starts out, it looks like we're going to start at like 5 miles an hour and get up to 8 miles an hour on Saturday, and start at 7, get up to 9 miles an hour on Sunday. So not a ton of wind for that place, but sometimes I'm more scared of wind that doesn't blow. But Cameo is the one place where I've seen high velocity wind, like 20 mile an hour wind, switch 180 degrees in 30 seconds. There's not very many places that can do that, but this canyon is just, there are these canyons, the where we're shooting, are just the right place to where you can actually have it switch just like that, which is very rare. And I think it's more the fact that we're shooting, some of the places you're shooting into an isolated, like a mesa in the middle of like a canyon, so it can blow around one side and then decide to blow around the other side of it. So it's just very interesting. But yeah, I recorded a episode recently on kind of how to handle wind, or at least what I do. And I just talk about target card on your Kestrel. I really feel like that's going to be a big deal with this match, because you know there's a lot of different angles and they're going to be a lot big pans, and so being able to put the angle of each target in and then put the angle of the wind in and figure out what relationship each target has, and being able to do it quickly, that's what target card allows you to do, is do it quickly. We can do it, you can do it without that, you know, but I feel like target card, or like geoballistics, or any sort of deal where you can put all the targets in and then you can change the wind angle and then it will update it for all the targets, and then you can be able to see, like, okay, you can see, you know, hey, this target's 200 yards farther, but because of the angle I actually hold less wind on it than this one. And being able to see that and then be able to run that, and then all of a sudden, say the wind changes in 15 seconds, or not 15 seconds, but in, say, 5 minutes later, when you're about ready to shoot and you've already got all this other stuff wrote down, being able to change it quickly because you're like, wow, the wind just changed, you know, 30, 40 degrees. I probably should check and see the relationship difference. And so then you run it at a different angle very quickly, and you don't have to go back through each target. That's where I think the big benefit of that is, and being able to put all the ranges in prior to shooting the match. Like, I'm going to try to get a matchbook and put all my ranges in Friday night, so tomorrow night, before this match even starts, so I'm prepared and ready to go, so that all I got to do each day is I'm going to verify ranges, because I always do, even though most match directors are really good about giving you the right range, I still don't care. I'm gonna do it myself. And well, I mean, I'm obviously gonna go off theirs, but I'm gonna verify it. Trust but verify. And then I'm going to, but, you know, I only have to move it, you know, a few yards here, a few yards there, maybe. Put in the angles for each target, and then you're pretty much ready to go. Like, you know, and say you get behind and in a pinch, you know, you can literally just pull up that target card, and there's all your data right there ready to roll. So yeah, it's just nice that way. And it allows you time, and you can really pay attention, because there's nothing else on your mind when you're putting the ranges in, right? Because that's the only thing you should be, or that you are doing, because, you know, you're sitting down at your hotel or your Airbnb or whatever, and that's your only task. You don't have people talking to you, and you don't have trying to figure out wind and remember if you have a mag loaded and get ready for the stage and do all this stuff. You're doing it under in a zero stress environment, so hopefully it limits mistakes, and at least that's what I would I suspect. I'm not saying that you can't get it wrong, you know. But anyways, but yeah, I go into that pretty hefty. And then I also talk, you know, that because I've had so many people ask for it, that I could be in at least enticed into doing some sort of like Zoom class or whatever on the Kestrel, just because I don't think that it's something you really need to be out on the range to do. And like I'm busy, and I feel like if there's one thing I'm good at is operating a Kestrel for some reason, or at least it seems like I teach a lot of people how to do it. So, and tons of people have questions, but anyways, So anyway, me and Brian will redo that episode and talk about the things we talked about in there, because I feel like they're pretty relevant. And because people are we do it and like make some sort of attempt to answer the question, like, how do you do it, you know? Because I mean, I have a ton of people ask me, like, especially, you know, they'll be like, in a match like that where there's a ton of wind in Kansas, I mean, a ton is relative, it wasn't like a ton of wind, it was enough wind and switching enough that it really could throw you off super easy, you know. And it was changing angles and speed, and there was a lot of panning involved in the match, so all of that made the degree of difficulty way more about the wind than the position and the rest of it. It was really a true thinking match. It was a troop line match, but it really was testing like your ability to hit small targets in some wind. And so that to me is the funnest type of matches. So but people, because it is so difficult, people want to know, how do you do it? And I have no idea. But we attempt to talk about, like, maybe, like, what is it, if we could put some sort of finger on it, what is it that helps you to be successful in an environment like that, or just really in a match in general? But and I think that comes down to things that you maybe wouldn't actually usually equate to, like getting more hits on. So, like I say, there's certain things you can do as far as like using your Kestrel properly and all that stuff. That's going to help you get at least the right numbers and stuff. But in the end, it comes down to how much you're willing to pay attention and how much you're willing to, or you're not willing to, like, be lazy and not check the angles and all that type of stuff and just wing it, you know, because winging it ends up not being, usually it's not nowhere near as successful. But anyways, so this has been my attempt at apologizing for that and for the audio quality on there, and kind of give you an update of what's going on, at least in the PRS world. It's been a pretty cool season. Some new faces at the top of the leaderboard, which has been pretty cool to see. I like seeing some new blood and a lot of old faces as well, and I think it's gonna make for a pretty cool season. So anyways, for all you guys going out and shooting, whether it's NRL 22, a PRS match, wherever you're at, good luck this weekend. It's gonna be a good time. Anytime you're shooting, it's a good time. So yeah, good luck out there, and hopefully you do good, and hopefully something that me or somebody else that's been on this podcast helped you out. And if you have any questions, let me know. Facebook or Instagram Messenger's the best way to do it. And yeah, good luck, and we'll talk to you guys later.